Hey, what's up, everybody? Yeah, having some technical difficulties over here at Monday Mass HQ, but you know what? The show must go on. The show must go on. So here we go. And I apologize if this doesn't sound as beautiful and as crispy as and wonderful as normal. But I threw everything out. I threw the microphones. I threw it all away because I was getting upset. And now we're going to go for it. We're doing it on the phone. We're going old school, new school, iPhone. Screw it. All right, here we go. The Monday Mass is brought to you by my friends at Quincy Woodwrights. That's right, USA-made skateboards. And the wood is grown in Houghton, Michigan, right up there, Northern Peninsula on the Mitt. You know the Michigan Mitt? They're grown up there. They're brought to the factory. Sustainably harvested trees. They're milled. They're glued, they're shaped, they're finished. They're all right there in Houghton, Michigan. And get this. So Quincy Woodwrights not only makes our own full line of graphic boards, but also we make shop decks, full graphic shop decks for leading shops around the country. And we do make boards for small, private, skater-owned companies that we love. And one of the companies that Quincy Woodwrights works with is called Space Program Board Co. At Space Program Board Co. And they have a new series. So first of all, Space Program Board Company, the sickest graphics. This company is run by a skater / graphic artist. So he puts everything into the graphics of these boards. And he's got a new series, or Space Program Board Co., I should say, has a new series out right now called Hollywood Forever. And the graphics on this three-board series are so good. James Dean, Marilyn Monroe, Audrey Hepburn, all just beautiful graphics on our amazing USA wood. And I'll tell you, this is a match made in heaven. These boards will ride as good as they look. The problem here is you're going to want six of them, right? You're going to want three to hang up straight on the wall. You're going to want three to ride for the next however long a board lasts you, 6 months, 3 months, whatever. You're going to want six of them. Here's the other good news. I'm about to post, or I probably have already posted, a giveaway. So if you go to at Space Program Board Co. on Instagram, or at Quincy Woodwrights on Instagram, you will find the giveaway where you can win an entire series of these boards, the whole series, for you and for your local skate shop. We're trying to support local skate shops here. We're trying to support you guys out there listening by hooking you up these amazing boards. And we just want to get you stoked. And I know you will be hyped when you see these graphics. They are among some of the coolest graphics that I've ever seen. And I want the whole set. So I'm probably going to enter this contest too. So go check it out right now at Space Program Board Co. and at Quincy Woodwrights. I know you'll be as excited as I am about these boards. I also want to welcome a new partner here at the Monday Mass, new friends that I've actually known about for a long time, that I've trusted for a long time, that I've used before, that I'm excited about because they're the real deal. I'm talking about Baja Bound Insurance. www.bajabound.com. If any of you out there listening have ever been to Mexico, Baja, you know, mainland, wherever you go in Mexico, right? You're going to need car insurance. If you're driving anywhere down there, you're going to need car insurance. The laws are different. It's a whole different world. If you don't have insurance for your vehicle in Mexico, you could be in a locked up abroad situation you do not want to be in. So I'm fully putting 100,000% of my car, my life's trust in Baja Bound Insurance when I go down to Baja. Whether I'm going to eat tacos or surf, or like in a month or so, I'm going to Tijuana to see the band The Scorpions with Megadeth. Yes, Can't wait. And I will be getting Baja Bound insurance for my vehicle. And here's a couple of little quick facts for you. All you have to do is, you don't have to stop anywhere. You just go to the website, you buy the policy, you print it out, you're good. If the unfortunate happens and you get in a fender bender or a wreck, all claims are settled in U.S. dollars. The repairs can be completed in U.S., Canada, Mexico. You got 24/7 toll-free service for roadside, travel, legal. I mean, there's also theft and vandalism coverage. You know what I'm saying? So trust Baja Bound Insurance. Anytime you cross the border, even if it's for 2 hours, you're going to want auto insurance. Trust me on this one. I've heard the stories. They're not good. If you don't have car insurance, you get in even a slight accident, you could be screwed. So thank you to our friends at Baja Bound Insurance for not only keeping U.S. drivers out of trouble in Baja and mainland Mexico, but also for supporting the Monday Mass. Check them out, BajaBound.com. This is going to be a wonderful show this week. You know, we're going to put the Olympics to bed. We're officially going to put the 2018 Winter Olympics to bed. We've got Todd Richards at the end of the show venting with his final thoughts. Not venting, that's not the right word. Decompressing. Giving us our Olympic bedtime story. Basically, this is the final thoughts on it. What was an incredible Winter Olympics. Also, I talked to Chris Grenier about what sounds like the most epic cabin, skate park, snowboard park situation ever. We've got WSL commentator Ronnie Blakey calling in, talking about Mick Fanning's retirement. Aaron Style, Billy Kemper, our new Big Wave World Champion. So much happening. And we're just going to get right into it. Like I said earlier, yo, it's on. This is the Monday Mass, the world's greatest action sports podcast. And we want to start with Surf News. Surf News is brought to you by South Coast Surf Shops here in San Diego. 5 shops for you to choose from. South Coast Surf Shops, a trusted name in the surf world for many, 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 many years. And if you ever find yourself in the San Diego zone, you got to stop by one of these South Coast Surf Shops. Shops in OB, PB. There's a Wahine shop for the ladies. There's a closeout shop. Excellent deals on wetsuits and whatnot. Check them out at South Coast Surf on Instagram. You're going to love it. So we start Surf News with, sad story here. And it's always unfortunate when surf legends leave us too early. And this is a surf legend of a very different ilk. Cut from a different cloth. This dude was known as the King of Santa Cruz, the heaviest of the heavy, Vince Collier. So Vince Collier, last week, apparently died of a heart attack on his way driving down to Puerto Escondido. And, you know, while he is remembered as both an enforcer, just a gnarly guy in general, trouble with the law, trouble with drugs, the heaviest stories ever, he's also remembered as a guy who absolutely loved Santa Cruz, an incredible surfer, one of the OG Santa Cruz performers, up there with the likes of Richard Schmidt, a guy that, you know, this is a guy that basically started the Santa Cruz nickname era. He was the one that gave Flea his nickname. Vince Collier was a You know, I actually got the chance to surf with him a couple times. It was terrifying. I mean, he was just a radical guy. But what, you know, what kind of makes him larger than life and makes us appreciate what Vince left with us was his openness, you know, his willingness to tell his story. I mean, the dude was into some heavy stuff. I actually read, you can read about him on BeachGrit.com right now, where BeachGrit asks Matt Warshaw, where does Vince Collier stand in the pantheon of U.S. surfing? And Matt Warshaw says, you know, it's a cautionary tale. You put him up there with Ricky Rasmussen, David Eggers, Andy Irons as, you know, a guy that potentially had it all, potentially could have gone one path, but ultimately chose the other path. He was in and out of trouble his whole life. And through all that, you know, he stayed in Santa Cruz. He stayed in the scene. He stayed as the guy at Steamer Lane. And Vince Collier will always be remembered as just a, I don't know, definitely kind of one of those yin and yang situations. Beloved for what he did for the Santa Cruz surf community. Feared, even in an interview, he kind of the old adage of, is it better to be loved or feared? And in terms of what Vince wanted, absolutely leaned to the side of wanting to be feared. And the fact that he was such a gnarly guy, not just a big dude, but also well-trained and scary. And definitely not someone you would want to mess with. If you did drop in on him, you were definitely in trouble. They don't make them like they used to, for better or for worse. Vince Collier, unfortunately, leaving us too soon, did leave behind some incredible stories. I urge you to go to beachgrit.com and read about him. It's, I mean, you talk about the world's most interesting man. And again, I'm not condoning some of the less lovable things that Vince Collier did, but man, the guy lived a very interesting life, and you just got to go read about him because it's too good not to. All right, as we move through to now surf news, yes, we are still in surf news. Mick Fanning announces his retirement from competitive surfing. Crazy, right? I mean, not crazy. He was kind of foot out the door, I would say, the last 2 years. Let's not forget, this guy, a dominant force in competitive surfing. 3 world titles, 2007, 2009, and 2013. Whoa. He won the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach as a wild card in 2001. The dude fought a shark on live TV and won. And to top that off, he goes back to the same place he fought the shark and surfs again. I mean, literally in the exact same spot at Jay Bay. Fought a shark, almost died, almost got eaten. The heaviest situation you can find yourself in as a surfer. And then he goes back because he's that much of a badass. Again, a rich life. You know, he has had his fair share of tragedy. He lost both of his brothers different times. And the dude is just, the best ambassador to surfing. Now he's a businessman. He's just going to be getting tubed, making money, and living the good life, which, hey, I don't blame you. When you're retiring from a dream to live another dream, you're doing pretty well. And I actually got the great idea. I wanted to get a little bit more insight as to Mick Fanning, what his legacy will be, what his future will be like. So I called up the expert, a Mick Fanning expert, a surfing expert, and the most velvety tone in all of surf commentary, Mr. Ronnie Blakey, who called me at about 4 a.m. Australian time just to hit his deadline to get on the Monday Mass. Thank you, Blakey. Let's hear what Blakey has to say about the one and only Mick Fanning.
A big hello to everyone tuned in to the Monday Mass. This is a long-time listener, first-time caller, Ronnie Blakey, answering a request from Chris to share some thoughts on Mick Fanning's retirement. Mick made the announcement here on the 1st of March that he would be wrapping up his competitive career at the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach. It was huge news in the mainstream press here, but obviously big news for the surfing world. What does it mean for the tour? Well, Mick's absence is going to be felt in a big way, I think. When someone's that consistent, it actually becomes a big roadblock for other guys in the field. So the fact that Mick won't be on tour is going to open the door for, you know, some fresh faces to get into those final heats. I think Mick's announcement is going to have people quizzing Kelly Slater and Joel Parkinson a lot about their retirement plans. Both those guys have been on the championship tour longer than Mick, so it's got to be something that they're considering. I sense that Joel is kind of getting to that, maybe the last year, his last year, full year on the CT. Kelly's a little bit trickier to pick. It'll be interesting to see how he bounces back from this broken foot. But, you know, I think Mick's departure definitely brings up that question for those guys. And I'd be surprised if they're not processing an answer. Thinking about Mick's competitive surfing legacy, I think one of the most dedicated athletes that the tour's ever seen. Changed the game somewhat, probably copped some flack for it initially. You know, there was sort of the full-on training regime, which, you know, some people weren't really subscribing to at the time. Guys that thought the best training for surfing was surfing. But I think the proof's really in the pudding, that there was more talented guys on tour that Mick was able to overcome because he was dedicated and stronger physically and mentally than some of those more talented surfers. And they've since gotten onto a training program, and I think as a result they've reached their full potential and are continuing to reach that potential. Mick's got a great reputation for being a really fair sportsman. I think that's part of his legacy. He's shown people how to win, but I think he's shown a lot of people how to lose as well and do it gracefully. So that sums up Mick's competitive legacy, but I think, you know, his legacy goes beyond his competitive success. You know, when you were reading all the tributes on Instagram about Mick, it didn't really have a lot to do with his competition results or his style of surfing. It was just all about the man, what kind of person he is as a human. And, I mean, that's a legacy that someone can be really proud of. You'd struggle to find someone that has a bad word to say about him. If you're lucky enough to be a friend of Mick's, then you got someone in your corner, always. I think that's his great legacy. He's just a really decent human being, super honest and loyal to the core. But mate, that's about it really. Hope that works for you. Hope everyone has a fantastic week. And stay tuned to the Monday Mass.
Oh, that silky tone. Ronnie Blakey, the voice of surfing. Thank you, Ronnie, for that. Those thoughts on Mick Fanning. I'm actually happy about this because while I'm a huge Mick Fanning fan. I mean, who isn't? But I do think we've seen a lot of Mick Fanning in a jersey, and I hate to say it, it's gotten a little bit redundant. And look, the guy is one of the greatest surfers that's ever lived. But let's make some room on the championship tour for some new blood. Let's watch Mick Fanning go on surf trips and do some open, you know, do some airs. see him open it up a little bit. I'm excited to see this next chapter of Mick Fanning. I'm much more excited to watch Mick Fanning free surfing, having fun, than seeing him back in a jersey doing a frontside whip. The best frontside whip there is, but I've seen it. So I'm excited to see what Mick Fanning's got next. That's what I'm pumped on. So, well, I guess we will see. From the looks of his Instagram, he's already having a hell of a good time. I like that. Other contest news. Oh, Billy Kemper. He is your Big Wave World Tour champion. He got set. So I believe they only were able to run 2 of 3 events for this season. Billy got second place at Pe'ahi, the heaviest second place you could ever get. And then he got second place at Nazaré in what he calls the risk-to-reward factor at Nazaré is skewed. Very risky, not very rewarding. That event was tough, but Billy Kemper earned this, and he is being applauded by the entire surfing world, and nobody wanted it more than Billy. The dude's been putting in the time, the training, etc., and he's tapped. I mean, he charges as hard as anybody. He wants to get barreled in a 50-foot tube, and he does it in small waves too. Billy Kemper is your world champion on the Big Wave World Tour. Congratulations, Billy Kemper. Hopefully, we're going to see some more big wave surfing happening. I'm talking big. I want big waves. And Billy echoed the same statement of he doesn't want to see big wave events go down where it's just a drop. He wants to see drop, tube, out on the open face, a 60-foot open face wave, guys doing carves, mavericks, you know, Pe'ahi, cloud break when it's 50 feet. That's what we want to see. Billy wants to see that too. Billy wants to surf it. Billy Kemper is your Big Wave World Tour champion. Back on the QS, David Silva and Nicky Van Dyke won the 2018 Vistula Sydney Surf Pro in Manly Beach, Australia. A QS 6000 event, so back-to-back QS 6000s, setting the tone for the year on the qualifying series. This is the biggest win for David Silva. David, no relation to Doug Silva. Anyway, Nicky has won here before at Manly. So congratulations, WorldSurfLeague.com. You can check out their ratings now for the QS. They will change, of course, but these are two big contests to start off the year. Now to the CT, the Championship Tour, the Quick Pro, Gold Coast, and the Roxy Pro, the first stops on the men's and women's 2018 World Championship Tour, potentially will start on March 11th. That's next weekend, or a week from now. I will probably get to go deeper next week, but for now, I'm just going to say I'm going to make my picks. I'm going to make them early. Top three, John Florence, Felipe, Toledo, Kolohe, and Dino. And put this guy's name on the list, my rookie pick, a guy that I'm saying is at least going to make the quarterfinals, Griffin Colapinto, bam. Watch the hell out, World Tour. Griffin, I have no idea why anyone else is talking about any other rookie besides Griffin. He's light years beyond the rest of the rookie class. I'm sorry, but he is, and he's the youngest, the hungry dude. The guy's really gnarly, and I'm not going to say light years. I mean, Iago, Tomas, this is the best rookie class we've seen in a long time. But I'm telling you, Griffin's the one to watch. He will be rookie of the year. Mark my words. A wild card pick for winning the Gold Quick Pro, Italo Ferreira. And Italo will be in the conversation for the world title. So you heard it here now. You're going to have Griffin Colapinto as the rookie of the year for 2018. Italo Ferreira will be in the top three. He will be fighting for a championship. Bam! The women's Roxy Pro will be the usual suspects. Carissa, Tyler, Steph. But you have to say the rookie threat is Caroline Marks. On her backhand, at snapper, you are going to witness destruction. She is gnarly. Laser sharp, lightning fast. I'm thinking Caroline Marks could make the final of this contest, her first ever championship tour event as a full-time competitor. Caroline Marks, if she's not on your fantasy team, you're blowing it. And speaking of fantasy surf tips, the 2017 Fantasy Surfer Champion, Matt Bemrose, was on the Monday Mass last week. So if you want some hot tips on how to make your team unbeatable, listen to the chant. Listen to last week's show. Lastly, the West Coast Board Riders is starting to flare up. I just read about it all on stabmag.com. We got a bunch of new clubs sprouting up all over California. Santa Cruz, San Luis Obispo, Ventura, LA, South Bay. The Encinitas squad led by Rob Machado. Carlsbad, Santa Cruz, Seal Beach, Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, Dana Point, Laguna Beach, San Clemente. This is a hell of a fun-looking event. Talking about surf clubs from your hometown if you live in one of these towns. Check out westcoastboardriders.com. The 2018 season kicks off this weekend in Huntington Beach. And I was not asked to be on the Encinitas team. I guess I got to keep practicing. Maybe I can be an alternate. I don't. My brother wasn't asked either, so at least I don't feel that bad. Go Encinitas! I'm going to be a cheerleader from now on for Team Encinitas. WestCoastBoardRiders.com. Check it out. This is cool. This is a very cool event series. You're going to want to be involved. Hey, let's go to Skate News. All right, let's get into Skate News. Rapid fire succession of action sports awesomeness. Skate News is brought to you by Quincy Woodwrights, like I mentioned at the top of the show. Quincy Woodwrights has been with the Monday Mass since day one. And I've been with them since day two. I'm with them. I'm in the crew. I work there. So that's the full transparency speaking here. I begged them to work with them because they rule. USA Wood, like I said, always say it. USA Wood. It's got that Michigan pop. This is good wood, folks. Support your local skate shop. You can buy a full graphic shop deck made by Quincy Woodwrights at shops like Orchard Skate Shop, Third Lair, Wave Rave, Blue Tile SC. The list goes on and on. We also make company boards, Space Program, Board Co. Like I also mentioned, the giveaway is up now at QuincyWoodwrights.com. We also make boards for bands. Trust me. You're going to want to learn more about Quincy Woodwrights. You can do that by going to @QuincyWoodwrights on Instagram. Here is your skate news. Tampa Pro happened this weekend. It was insane as usual. God, what a just an epic event. The Tampa Pro, the skate park of Tampa street course. It is just a classic course. It has been the proving grounds for the best of the best. And when Tampa Pro comes in, all the big names come out. Your skate magazine come to life. This is your Instagram feed come to life. Your favorite skateboarders all in the same contest. I watched it basically for 12 hours this weekend on ETN. And starting with the Converse Concrete Jam, this has to be one of the craziest contests as far as the snake session madness goes. These guys are launching freaking Roman candles at each other while they're skating. Trey Wood, holy shit. Trey Wood went nuts, won the Concrete Jam portion of Tampa Pro Weekend. It's a skateboarding festival, indoor, outdoor, it rules. And then as far as the indoor portion, the heaviest, probably the heaviest skate contest in the world as far as the names. Jamie Foy just ripped all weekend. He won best trick. And again, Tampa Pro best trick contest is the gnarliest best trick contest there is. Jamie Foy won with a big spin, front blunt, big spin out. Marinate on that. Big spin, front blunt, big spin out on a rail. Holy crap. I watched it 16 times. How is that possible? The finals were heavy as usual. Milton Martinez, oh my God. He got the Bronson Speed Killer Award. That dude is quickly becoming one of my favorite skateboarders. He won $1,000 in fives in a briefcase. And like I was hoping, like everybody's hoping, he did what we wanted. He made it rain. He threw the money into the crowd. Made me like him even more. The Bro Mandarin Chief Award from Boards for Bros, a.k.a. the dude who sets the positive vibe. And again, just a great ambassador to skateboarding, Manny Santiago. Then your top three, third place, Ryan DeCenzo, a super consistent contest killer as always. Dude is the Terminator. Felipe Gustavo is back in second place. The dude skated so perfect. And then the winner has to be considered one of the new generation's best all-terrain killers. Mega, Vert, Street, Park, Bull, anything. Jagger Eaton wins Tampa Pro. He won Tampa Am, now he's won Tampa Pro. He's got the golden ticket straight to Street League. And I'm thinking if he competes in any Vans Park Series events this year, he's going to win one. If he does at least three, he'll win one. This dude is heavy. Jagger Eaton. And this is, again, this was all on ETN. So you can go back and check it out. I believe it's free of charge, although I am a member. Aaron Style also went off over the week. It was a big weekend for skateboarding. The street course at Aaron Style LA was incredible. Imaginative. Just really cool to look at. The best part of the course at Aaron Style was these freeway pillar extensions. Looked like they were taken right off the I-5 freeway and stuck in a skate park. And of course, everybody ripped. So you had all the top street pros at the Tampa Pro, and then you had the best park guys, the Tom Shars, you know, the park crew, Grayson Fletcher. They were all at LA for LA Aaron Style. Over the couple of the days that I watched, Corey Juno was ripping as usual. But then the finals, this was it. Not shocking because all these dudes have been ripping, but Tom Shar, who you're more likely to see in deep bowls, ripping the street. I mean, this was kind of like half street course, half concrete rawness. It was, you have to check it out. It's on the Aaron Style Facebook page. Anyway, Tom Shar, third place, 14-year-old CJ Collins. This dude is getting hyper consistent. He is going to be gnarly on the Vans Park Series. I can't wait to see what he has for us in 2018. And the new Flying Hawaiian, Heimana Reynolds, with the win. It was an insane contest. Not the most tech or dangerous, but definitely super entertaining. So congratulations to those 3, 10, however, Aaron Style skateboarders. Now let's get to it. Nyjah Houston dropped what many people are calling the best video part ever. Or one of the best video parts ever. It's called Till Death. 11 plus minutes of superhuman skateboarding beyond the realm of what was even considered possible, plausible. This is video game skateboarding. Nyjah did it all. He did do it all wearing short shorts, which we'll get to. Which is, you know what? If you skate like that, you can wear whatever the hell you want. That's kind of what everybody's consensus is. If you can skate like Nyjah, dude, dress up however you want. Nobody cares when you're that good. And he is that good and that gnarly. Any questions as to Nyjah's hardness or softness? The dude is tough as nails. Some of the most savage, life-ending slams. He gets up, tries again. Nyjah is so gnarly. Don't take my word for it. I've got two experts lined up to give us their official reviews of Nyjah's Till Death part for Nike SB. We're going to start with the editor of skateboarding.com, Blair Alley, with his insight as to how the hell Nyjah did this, why did he do it, and how this affects the rest of the world of skateboarding. Because it's a part like that. It's a benchmark skate park. Here's Blair Alley talking about Till Death.
Chris Cote in the Monday Mass. It's Blair Alley from Transworld Skateboarding giving you my review of Nyjah's Nike SB Till Death part. This is the part to announce his first shoe on Nike. We went to the premiere last Monday up in Hollywood, where the video part didn't even premiere till midnight in the middle of a Hollywood rooftop party. It was pretty fun, pretty awesome. And the part didn't disappoint. Nyjah did the biggest, gnarliest rails he's ever done in this part. Filmed and edited by Ty Evans, so a lot of slow-mo, a lot of the wide-angle lenses that people are talking about on all the social medias. And Nyjah wears what he wants to wear. He's wearing short shorts and capes and switch front feebling Hollywood High. And there's a little cinematic breakdown in the middle of it. some close-up shots of some drops of blood on the ground. Sour Solution, if you go to their Instagram, they did a great, hilarious kind of spoof tribute of that. Now I just get to a couple Meek Mill songs. The part's about 10 minutes long. Maybe someone out there will remix it, take out all the slow-mos, and we can get kind of like a shorter, hard-hitting version of it. But either way, in some of Nigel's past parts, he would kind of hit more medium-sized rails and get super tech on them, but not the case with the Till Death part. He just goes balls out and 5-0s a rail that goes down and around a corner and then down another kink. Fakie 50-50s La Jolla High, and Nolly nose grinds it. Yeah, just the psycho rails that no one else can skate. Probably because of the capes he can balance on them. So that's my review. Check out skateboarding.com for everything you need to see. Watch the part again. It's amazing. Pick up a pair of his shoes. They're great. I had the opportunity to skate them a couple months ago. So yeah, thanks for that, Nike. Thanks, Nyjah, for putting your fucking body on the line for this one. And thanks, Chris Cote, and all the Monday Mass listeners. See you next time.
And thank you, Blair Alley, for that take. Yes, skating in short shorts and a cape. But like Blair said, who cares? Nice is that gnarly. You can skate in a freaking G-string. Well, that might be a little over the line. Out of line. Don't skate in a G-string, Nyjah. Now, for a second review. This is from the executive director of the International Association of Skateboard Companies, IASC. A full-blown skate rat for life. Thomas Barker. This is another great take on Nyjah's Till Death.
Test 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you, Chris. So something happened Tuesday at 5 p.m. You may have felt it. It made old friends text each other, cleared skate parks, it crashed websites, it gave doubts to even the most respected of shredders. It made you rethink your relationship with your skateboard. It made you believe, even after the gold rush of amazing skateboarding of the last 20 years, there is still a great beyond, an unexplored Wild West frontier that only a handful of the craziest outlaws dare to explore. This was a moment for some to rethink our culture. Can anything be truly unhateable anymore? Would we say because we don't understand Da Vinci's eccentricities or the pants he wore that we hated the Mona Lisa? There are few places on earth where a person can sit unassailable, untouchable, untalk-smackable, the top of Everest, the bottom of maverick-sized waves, and on giant kink rails that wobble. In our crazy, overhyped, marketing-driven culture, rarely does something so anticipated go so far past expectations. We, of course, are talking about Nyjah Houston's Nike SB Till Death video part.
That's it for Skate News. Tons of video wrap-ups of all the events that happened this weekend and last week. So get trolling on the internet. Let's go straight into Snow News because Snow News is good. Oh, yes. Yes. So as we all know, maybe you don't know, if your head's been under a rock, California snow has been incredible. I mean, I think the snow's been kind of incredible across the whole western portion of this country. But Mammoth, Big Bear, Bear Mountain, Mountain High, it's been powdery everywhere. There was a gnarly avalanche at Mammoth, but apparently the crew, ski patrol, avalanche patrol, these guys were on it, mitigated the danger immediately, and the lifts opened up pretty much right after. And all I've seen on the Instagram is just powder whips all damn day. So snow season has come back in. It's come in hot. It has not come in hot. It's come in cold. Special shout out to Frances McDormand winning the Oscar, giving a crazy shout out to Chloe Kim at the beginning of her speech. Who was expecting that? Who was expecting that? You want to hear it? Let's hear it.
Okay. So I'm hyperventilating a little bit. If I fall over, pick me up because I've got some things to say.
I think this is what Chloe Kim must have felt like after doing back-to-back 1080s in the Olympic half pipe. Did you see that? Okay, that's what it feels like.
How cool is that? Frances McDormand wins Best Actress at the Oscars. First thing she says, Chloe Kim, back-to-back 1080s. So she knows what she's talking about. And she is obviously a Chloe Kim super fan, and that rules. That shows you what the Olympics did this year. Because, I mean, that is, if the Olympics and Chloe Kim and her actual tricks are in the greater vernacular of the world, it's huge. So, congratulations, Frances and Chloe. I'll go snowboarding with both of you anytime. Okay, Aaron Style happened. Speaking of Hollywood, speaking of LA, Aaron Style snow also happened. It's more of a snow event than a skate event, but I watched most of the skate. My homie Eddie Wall, great job. Watched you all weekend. Love you, man. I watched a lot of the practice. I saw on the Sessions Instagram page, Jesse Paul getting the behind the scenes footy of other Sessions rider, Frank Bourgeois, who just ripped in practice. And after that, I was in and out. I do know this. Darcy Sharp took the street style comp in Aaron Style. Johnny O'Connor second. Kyle Mack third. It was a cool event. I back it. I'm going next year for sure. I'm kind of bummed I missed it this year. I'm going next year for sure. Speaking of ripping snowboarders, I actually ran into the one and only, one of the sickest dudes on snow, Chris Grenier. At my local skate park the other morning. And so I say, "What's Granny, let's do this. Quick interview for the Monday Mass." And sounds like Chris Grenier is, and mind the cliche here, but living the dream. So Grenier and his homie have created what sounds like the most epic cabin, skate park, snowboard, bike track situation ever. They have their own little slice of mountain heaven. And I had to ask Grenier, a.k.a. Grendies, a.k.a. Grandpierre, what's up with this ultimate man mountain? It's like a man cave to the next level, a man mountain. It sounds amazing. And it's actually going to be, it's out now. This is a video project that he's been working on with another homie of mine, Lauren Brenton. So you know it's going to be banging, but don't take my word for it. Take the word of Grenier. Talking about his latest project. Sounds awesome. Yo. Oh, Chris Grenier. At the local park here in Encinitas. Little Dawn Patrol morning session. But let's talk new vibes. You got a new video series out and I'm hearing rave reviews from the guy who made it. But also, you know, I'm also hearing rave reviews from people watching it. Tell me about the new project you got going.
Yeah, so we got a 3-part web series called The Cabin Report. And that airs on ESPN.com and the X Games YouTube channel. And then also all of the three episodes are cumulated into one 30-minute special on ABC on World of X Games. And that airs March 17th. And it's basically about our cabin in Utah up in the mountains. We built our own concrete skate park that's pretty massive. And then the process of building that, we built our own snowboard park with a pickup truck powered rope tow. And then you know, just spent the whole winter up there just snowboarding and living in the mountains and kind of the whole process of what goes into that. And that's about it.
It's pretty much next level DIY man cave, but on a huge scale. How did the whole thing even start? Was this, that's everybody's dream.
Yeah.
I want a treehouse, I want a skate park, and I want a snowboard park in the mountains. But how did you guys make that dream come true?
Well, so me and my good friend Alex Andrews, I was looking for a cabin, he was looking for a cabin. And he found this one, and you have to have cash because you can't get a loan for a recreational property. So we split the cabin 50-50, and we both had the same goals. And he had built a skate park in his backyard, so he had some experience. And then kind of when there's two people, the workload becomes more manageable than if it was just me, and it's good.
So tell me about what you guys built up there.
Yeah. So we poured about 50 yards of concrete, which is a really decent-sized skate park, and it's got kind of a street section with a 6-foot quarter and then a little back half bowl and just all kinds of steep transitions. And then along with that, our snowboard park is like, we got a bunch of rails, some wooden jumps, so we don't need a lot of snow. And then we got a full mountain bike trail. So that's about it for the action sports.
Tell me about your chairlift system. Yeah. It sounds amazing.
So we just drove a pickup truck to the top of the hill. Well, we had to winch it up there because it was so steep. And then we got it up there, welded a little stand so the back wheels are off the ground. So the back wheels just spin freely. And then we kind of built a pulley system for a guide. And there's a rope that wraps around the rear tire and then goes to the bottom of the hill where we have another wheel. And it's simply just a rope that just goes around in a circle, and it's about 900 feet long. And you just get you to the top of the hill in about 15 seconds or, you know, and it flies, and you just get a million laps a day.
Oh, yeah. And we can watch that now on the internet. Totally opposite side of the coin here. That's like super fantasy camp fun. Yeah. Obviously, Olympics just wrapped up. Pretty crazy. Yeah. Just the whole thing seemed like a giant spectacle.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse, but I feel like the end result was pretty amazing. Yeah. Tell me your take on Olympic snowboarding this year.
I mean, I was hyped. Red Gerard won. Red is definitely like the people's champion. You know, he's an absolutely ripping snowboarder. He just kind of is true to snowboarding. He still rides. He doesn't change at all. He's an absolute ripper. And then you know, Sean, I mean, hats off to the guy. He went absolutely huge. I mean, there was no regard for safety on that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't compete in it, but I enjoy watching it, that's for sure.
Perfect. So bam. And so with that, Chris Grenier, you gotta watch that series. It sounds so good, and I'm hyping it up because I believe in it, and also because I want to be invited up to this damn man mountain with Grenier and the homies. Sounds like a dream come true. And he also told me off recorder, no cell service, which right now, it sounds like a plus. All I want to do is snowboard and skateboard. And sure, I'll ride a mountain bike. Let's do this. Granny, come on. Where's the invite? I'm coming up. Really, I'm coming up regardless. All right. So with that last question for Chris Grenier, I had to throw in that Olympic, you know, response. Obviously, it's kind of a big deal. But to officially now put the 2018 Winter Olympics to bed, Todd Richards is back from South Korea. And I just basically had him come in to Monday Mass HQ and let it exhale, let it all go. So decompression after a long and eventful trip to Pyeongchang for the Winter Olympics. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an off-the-cuff interview, intervention, Olympic intervention, with a very jet-lagged but still very awesome Todd Richards, guy who won the Olympics. He won a lot of awards, but one of the main awards he won was from Access Hollywood. Oh my God, Todd Richards has made it, but there's so much more. Here's an extended cut, an extended interview with the homie, Todd Richards.
Hello.
As you're saying.
As I live and breathe.
So front loaded with action.
Okay, so the Olympics, are we going?
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we got there, it was so front loaded stuff that it was like this super high right in the beginning. And then, not to say that any of the other events were like low points, but it was, for me, I peaked on like the fourth day, because it was like women's slopestyle qualifier, then men's slopestyle qualifier, then women's final, then men's final, or whatever it was, and then men's and women's pipe, and blah, 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 blah. It all happened like so quick the first week. And then it was like I had kind of like pushed my energy level to the highest it would go during men's pipe. And then after that, it was just like, kind of felt like I was going through the motions, like even through big air. Like, it was rad. Like, women's big air made me really excited. Men's big air was cool, but it wasn't as exciting to me as watching the women's big air. But
women's big air was total redemption.
It was total redemption, and it was probably the best women's event I've ever seen. Just the fact that like the qualifying was crazy, the final wasn't as good as the qualifier, I don't think, which was kind of the theme for me the whole Olympic. I think the qualifier days were more exciting. But yeah, the girls ripped, or women. Sorry, I'm not gonna say girls. Apparently, we get in trouble when we say girls, even though the girls call themselves girls, women call themselves girls. We're not allowed to call them girls, even though they're girls. But whatever. Yeah. So it was, I'm happy to be home. Can I just say that? I'm kind of delirious still a little bit. Jet lag is real. I'm on day two. Day tomorrow is going to suck. I know that. It's day three of jet lag. But yeah.
So tell me this. Where the lead up to it was obviously huge.
Yeah.
With, you know, just the madness, the metal madness and like what's going to happen. Uh-huh. Where are we now? Where is snowboarding now after the Olympics? Have things changed?
Well, I don't know if anything's changed. I know that it's changed for some people. You know, Red Gerard specifically. Sean is just more, he's more Sean. I'm going to sit down because I don't want to stand up anymore. Sean is just more, he's more Sean. And then Jamie Anderson, I mean, we all, the people that we expected to do well did well. Anna Gasser, life is going to change for her in dramatic ways in Austria. I mean, she's a Red Bull athlete in Austria, just won the gold medal. I mean, life is going to be drastically different from her, for her. But yeah, you know, like Kyle Mack, like he's elevated to a new stage. And but the thing about the Olympics is like next, I mean, we live in such a weird society now where it's what's next, what's next, what's next. People will forget about the Olympics next week. And that's, I mean, that's good and that's bad and it's everything in between. And, you know, we have the U.S. Open of Snowboarding coming up next weekend, maybe this weekend. It's really soon at any rate. And, you know, it's whoever's the best on that particular weekend or that particular day. And people will forget all about the Olympics pretty soon.
Do you think the Olympics did its job to get more people interested in snowboarding, to get more snowboarders excited to actually go snowboard?
I think so. I think it was definitely, you know, a big... Well, the view, let's put it this way, the viewership on the men's half pipe final, we got a 19 point something Nielsen rating, which is better than the World Series of baseball. It's about 2 to 3 points shy of the Super Bowl. So, I mean, 2 or 3 points in a Nielsen rating is huge. It's giant numbers. But the fact that we're, you know, all the Dew Tours, all the Grand Prix, all everything combined over the last 3 years is not a 19. So we expose the sport to a million people, and people, there's fans and there's people that like have never seen snowboarding. And I got a lot of flack and also a lot of compliments about my really dumbing down of my commentary. And to the people that were being critical of that, I have to say, like, I'm not, the Olympics is so much bigger than a Grand Prix or a Dew Tour or whatever that, you know, I'm really not commentating to the core audience. And I know that. And you guys are just gonna have to deal with it, because this is like, we're introducing snowboarding to people that have never seen it before. And if I'm explaining to you in childish terms what a switch backside whatever is, or even the difference between backside and frontside, and even the fact that the snowboard's not going to fall off your feet you're not grabbing it to make it fall. It's like, you got to explain this shit to people because they don't know.
Yeah,
you know, you're explaining stuff to, like, you know, people like Leslie Jones, which I'm going to play you something right now because it's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. If you don't know who Leslie Jones is, I suggest that you follow her. She's from SNL, Saturday Night Live, and she ripped me a new one at the Olympics. So hold on a second. Let me find this. Okay, here we go.
Piss me off with his arrogance on how he announcing this shit. Don't make this shit pretentious, motherfucker. Just explain the shit right. This ain't, man, just tell us. I'll go ask the skateboarder. They'll explain this shit easier than what the fuck you saying. Listen to this shit. Listen to this shit.
Switch backside 900 that Scotty will turn into a switch backside 1260 switch, being the opposite of your natural stance. It's like throwing a baseball with the other hand, the mirror image of a trick. Super awkward. That's all you need to know.
Is that all I need to know? How about I need to know what the fuck you just said? You know what, man? Put the fucking mic down. Put the fucking mic.
Okay, I can't tell you how happy that makes me. That was the highlight of my Olympic. I think Leslie Jones is one of the funniest human beings on the planet. And to have her just rip me a new butthole about you know, simple splaining things in men's pipe. God, I love her. She's the greatest. But yeah, you know, so like that's, you're going to get complaints either way. And even, you know, I'm sitting there thinking that I'm explaining it as simply as I possibly can. And, you know, Leslie Jones is an extreme example of a comedian that's watching this, and her job is to, you know, make fun of me. But even the simple explanation doesn't really, you know, you've got to, there's a lot of times I had to dumb it down even more. So yeah, it's a great time for snowboarding. I think a lot of new people are going to, be clued in to what's happening. There's a lot of people that care more than they did. And, it's cool. I'm glad. I mean, look, as much as I, you know, kind of dread going away for that long, and I didn't really snowboard while I was there, and it was kind of like, it's hard. It's not easy doing it. You're to be on like that, to have your personality be on and have to be on it, and like TV on, is like, it's basically like, you know, being the life of the party for 30 days. And it's not, that shit is not easy at all.
We did get a lot of amazing feedback.
Yeah, you know, we were stoked, you know, and I love that. I love to hear the feedback. I always cringe and when I go to look on social media after we do an event, because I'm just like, oh God, here it comes. But honestly, you know, with the exception of some, you know, trolley dudes that only have like 2 followers on their social media, and you know, they're the ones that are saying the worst shit, but I know that they're just dudes that's what they do.
They want attention.
They just want attention.
So give me your top 3 Olympic moments.
All right. Top 3 Olympic moments. Number 1 is Esther Ledecka winning both the Super G, smoking Lindsey Vonn, and also winning the parallel giant slalom. I mean, I'm not, alpine snowboarding is this weird thing in snowboarding these days, and it's a very, you know, people, it basically died. And the only time that you really hear about alpine snowboarding is kind of during the Olympics. And I know, you know, people get really up in arms about that, but it's the truth. It really is. I know there's a lot of people that are really dedicated to doing that part of the sport, but it doesn't really get that much attention. So it was pretty cool to see it get its attention at the Olympics. And bottom line is, I don't care if she's in hard boots on a race board, she took out Lindsey Vonn. And I think Lindsey Vonn is a crab tree. I'm not down with her. So that was my number 1. Number 2 was the women's big air qualifier and final. That was just the most bonkers thing ever. And number 3 was hanging with my crew there. You know, there's so many different moments with Sean winning and all that stuff. But number 3 was the crew that I hung out with. And I love those guys. I love Harris and Tina Dixon and Johnny Mosley and Trace Worthington and, you know, Luke Van Valen. Like those, we come from such different places in our lives, but like when we get together every 4 years to do this, we have the best time ever. An honorable mention will be Sean showing emotion.
Yeah.
You know, that was really cool. And it's really hard not to watch that and not feel something move.
Right.
Well, maybe not feel something move, but cry. Yeah.
It moved. Double honorable mention. What about Torgeir?
Okay. So,
one more.
I get one more. This is the double honorable mention. This is the style award of the Olympics. How about we put it that way? That was when Torgeir Bergram did the switch backside 540 to full lockout method during men's big air qualifier. He already qualified with like a backside, flat backside 1620, and then he just did one for the boys. And it was friggin' awesome. And then also Marcus Cleveland did a backside 360 frontside rewind after his run fell apart in men's slopestyle qualifiers. And I thought that was cool too. It's good to see. I mean, I like it when they just, God, we need to slow it down a little bit sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was my Olympic experience. I got home yesterday and I'm drinking coffee from my favorite coffee place. And I went in the water yesterday and the water's really cold. You know, I think it's as cold as it probably is in South Korea. It's really chilly here. But yay, I'm home.
Well, thank you to all of the fine, fine guests that came on. Ronnie Blakey, Todd Richards, of course, Thomas Barker, Blair Alley, and Chris Grenier. thank you for lending me your time to talk about action sports on the world's greatest action sports podcast, The Monday Mass. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. It was a pain in the ass to make. Because, again, I did it on my phone. I mean, hopefully it didn't bother you too much. But, you know, I'm not going to apologize. You're not paying for this. Thank you to all the sponsors, the people who are paying for this. Baja Bound Insurance at BajaBound.com. YouOnline.com. And, of course, the homies, Quincy Woodwrights, South Coast Surf, Tory Holistics, Master Plan Communications, and the rest of the supporters out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for all your kind messages. We'll be back next week with another episode of the World's Greatest Action Sports Podcast, The Monday Mass. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye. Couldn't stand another hour.